Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Tired of struggling just for your customers to notice you? Your business needs Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. With powerful tools like email, SMS, social media, and events, you'll say the right thing at the right time to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Plus, everything's backed by Constant Contact's expert live customer support. So get going and growing with Constant Contact today. Try it free at ConstantContact.com.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Why was the sand wet? Because the seaweed. Which baseball team always has a sense of deja vu? The New York Haven't We Mets. What do you call a cactus that's really, really sharp? Precocious. Ow.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Curtiff Electric Network Studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio. Now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve, and this is a show for people who had never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at drscottwm. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. I guess I'm using the royal we today because I'm here by myself. I am not your medical provider. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, respiratory therapist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, massage therapist, proctologist, Zydeco musician, or whatever. All right, very good. Don't forget to check out stuff.drsteve.com for all your online shopping needs. It really does help keep us on the air. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net, simplyherbals.net. He has his nasal spray back on the market for sale. And I'm not a fan of the device that he has this time, but the nasal spray, I mean, it still works. I've been in negotiations with him to maybe talk to his supplier and swap that out for the next batch. But it's got peppermint oil in it, buffered saline, and CBD. So, I mean, it has a little bit of everything in there. And I will attest that it is a great nasal spray this time of year to flush those antigens out of your nose. So check him out at simplyherbals.net. And then please do check out our Patreon channel. It's patreon.com/weirdmedicine. For an extraordinarily low fee, you get access to content that isn't available anywhere else, including classic shows, but also new shows, including our newest show called The Exam Room, when we have celebrities come in and ask us questions. And this show is basically Tacy and me. And every once in a while, we'll have a little extra person in there, maybe Lady Diagnosis or Dr. Scott will show up. But this is a show for Tacy and me to bond over and to do a project together. So check it out, patreon.com/weirdmedicine. If you want to hear somebody just giving me shit all the time rather than vice versa, that's a good show. Tacy isn't shy in that regard. Anyway, all right. Well, listen, I'm very sorry that this show is so late getting out. I had just a shite week at work, and I'm going to be having shite weeks at work for the next probably 1 to 2 months. And then come October, as I step down from my system role and go back to what I really love doing, which is seeing patients and teaching, things should get a little bit better. And I'm hoping I'll be able to put a little more focus on the show and all those kinds of things as well. So hopefully the quality will improve on the show. And that's it. So let's get into it. Someone on Twitter sent me an article that I thought was really fascinating because we've been talking about mind-gut axis on the show for a long time and also fecal transplantation. And then now here you go. Here's an article that's titled Fecal Transplants Reverse Signs of Aging in Brain, Gut, and Eyes of Mice. So this is a murine study, meaning that it is, you know, a mouse-derived data. But this is where this stuff starts. We seem to be totally fine doing things to mice that we wouldn't do to each other. And then, but if it works and on the mice, then we are we'll take it to the next level, maybe do a primate study or a larger, you know, a pig study. Pigs are a little closer to us than mice are. And if it works in the pigs, then they might do a primate study. And then if that works, they may do human trials. But here's that article. It says, and this is from newatlas.com, the connection between gut bacteria and human health continues to be illuminated in all kinds of ways. Among the more fascinating is the way these microbes might influence different aspects of the aging process. So whenever I see anti-aging stuff, I'm always skeptical up front, just because there have been so many scams in the past. And but, you know, if modern medicine worked in such a way that it's just lack of knowledge that prevents us from
allowing any one certain person to live to, you know, for a long time. In other words, oh yeah, they've got congestive heart failure. If we just had enough knowledge to do something to reverse that, they would live longer. If that were true, there'd be at least 200 or 300, 400-year-old people running around just by chance. And the fact that the lifespan seems to be capped out at 120, and that's in extreme cases, the average lifespan being significantly less than that. And a lot of these people who live to be 120, it's not because of modern medicine. They just don't ever get sick. There's groups of people in the Ural Mountains that drink vodka and smoke cigarettes every day, routinely live to be 100 plus, but they never see a doctor. And that's the thing, is that, you know, the key to living to be 120 is don't get sick. Well, we don't have any control over that. Having good genetics helps, that's for sure. But again, you don't have any control over that either. So anyway, I'm always a bit skeptical of this, although I understand that aging is simply a physiologic process, that at some point we may be able to reverse that. Should we? I don't know. What if it's fabulously expensive? Then only the rich get to live a long time, and the rest of us get to just, you know, die on our regular schedule. If it's insanely cheap, then we have a problem with overpopulation, but it may drive our quest to get off this planet and colonize other worlds. Who knows? So, you know, science fiction has studied these things significantly. In Frank Herbert's Dune, the spice melange had life-prolonging properties, but it was fabulously expensive. So wars were started over it, and that wasn't the only thing it did. It did all kinds of stuff, including giving people a limited ability to see into the future. And that's why the guild navigators, oh, blah, 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 blah. That's, you know, I'm a big nerd now. Anyway, those of you who've read Dune understand it. If not, sorry, I went down that rabbit hole. But anyway, this study has highlighted new facets of this relationship, but demonstrates how hallmarks of aging in the brain, gut, and eyes may even be reversed through fecal transplants. So, you know, a lot of pseudo-medicine has to do with seeing a rat study that says, oh, you know, glutamine is good for X, Y, or Z in rats, and so let's just, glutamine's on over the counter, we'll just sell people glutamine and make these claims about it. And I just don't see a huge rush of people doing the same thing with fecal microbiota. But anyway, it says the makeup of microbial communities in our gut is being shown to shape many different aspects of our well-being. We're starting to really see how inflammation can play an intermediary role when it comes to cognitive health. Now, this I do believe. One 2019 study offered some interesting insights to this space by showing the intestine to be the source of immune cells that reduce brain inflammation in multiple sclerosis. Later that year, we saw the approval of a drug designed to remodel the gut microbiome to reduce neuroinflammation for treatment of cognitive decline in Alzheimer's. Now, wait a minute. What is that one? Oh, okay. I clicked on this study. Microbiome altering Alzheimer's drug unexpectedly approved in China. It says, in a surprise to many researchers around the world, Chinese authorities recently approved a novel drug claimed to improve cognitive function in patients with Alzheimer's disease. The drug, derived from a marine algae, is the first new Alzheimer's drug to reach the market anywhere in the world in 20 years, suggested to reduce neuroinflammation by modulating a person's gut microbiome. Now, isn't that interesting? I'd like to see the data on that. Well, anyway, results from a study published in Nature Aging last year provided particularly compelling evidence of the influence of gut bacteria on the brain. It focused specifically on brain aging, showed that transplanting fecal matter from young mice into old mice. See, young people, when shit becomes valuable, the poor will be born without assholes. That's a saying from my past. Old mice could reverse some aspects of age-related brain deterioration. So young people's fecal matter will have a higher street value than old people's fecal matter. Isn't that interesting? Learning ability, long-term memory was improved. These were considered among the first insights in how gut bacteria can influence brain aging in mammals. Now, the latest findings in this area come from science at some University of East Anglia, who have added yet more weight to the idea gut bacteria can influence brain health via inflammation. They've simultaneously shown how these microbial communities can influence certain biomarkers of aging, not just the brain, but the gut itself and also the eyes. They transplanted fecal matter from healthy young mice to aged mice. And I would like some healthy young fecal matter, please. And also reverse experiments where the younger mice receive fecal matter from the older ones. They then analyzed a range of inflammatory biomarkers across the bodies of the animals and teased out some valuable insights. Following these transplants, the young mice showed a loss of integrity, of course, because the old have no integrity. Oh, in the gut lining. Okay. They showed a loss of integrity in the gut lining, which allowed bacterial products to pass through and circulate around the body. Okay, yes, okay, I understand this. They're talking about tight junctions in the gut. And these are places where cell walls, well, we don't really have cell walls, cell membranes meet each other. And if they're tightly bound, then that makes a very tight junction, hence the name, that doesn't allow anything past it. You know, it acts as a wall. But if they're loose, then toxins and bacterial parts and different antigens can breach that wall and cause inflammation in the tissues on the other side of that so-called tight junction that is now loose. So this triggers the immune system, in turn, inflammation causing overactivation of certain immune cells in the brain and elevating levels of proteins linked to retinal degeneration in the eyes. That's amazing. Conversely, the scientists found that these sorts of markers could be reversed in the older mice by implanting them with fecal matter from younger mice. This also boosted levels of healthy bacteria previously shown to be linked to good health in mice and humans. So, this is an interesting study. There is another way to do this, though. This just struck me as I'm reading this. There is a medical food called enterogam. Enterogam is serum bovine immunoglobulins. And if you have loose junctions in your gut, you could do something to try to tighten them up, i.e. do a fecal transplant, or other things that you could use. I think the drug lubiprostone, a.k.a. Amitiza, also tightens those junctions. But the other thing you could do is just block things from broaching those loose junctions, and that's what that enterogam does. The serum bovine immunoglobulins bind to all these antigens and quote-unquote toxins and bacterial parts and things like that that cause inflammation. And they bind to them, preventing them from being exposed to the tissue that then causes inflammation. So that may be something. So, yeah, this bears some... Now, listen, if my mind is just as spry as it ever was and my eye is just as, has just the resolution that it always did, but my body is still falling apart, that's going to be infuriating to me. I mean, if I can still see that half of a, you know, tit tattoo on a redneck woman with a tank top on, which was only... kind of my thing. I know it's weird. And because you always want to know what the other half of the tattoo shows. And I can think about it, I can process that, and I can see it with high resolution, but there's nothing I can do about it that will be irritating. So we got to figure out whether fecal transplants reverse signs of aging in other parts of the body as well, if you know what I mean. Anyway, that's very, very interesting. All right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Flex your business with an American Express Business Gold Card. You'll earn 4 times membership rewards points on your top 2 eligible spending categories, like transit and electronics, each month on up to $150K in combined purchases per year. Plus, you can now earn 3 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Amex Business Gold, built for business by American Express.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Whether you're making a delicious family meal or a post-workout snack, choose the farm-fresh taste of Eggland's Best Eggs. Only Eggland's Best Hens are fed their proprietary all-vegetarian feed. That's what makes their eggs more nutritious. With 10 times more vitamin E, 25% less saturated fat, and 6 times more vitamin D compared to ordinary eggs. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com to learn more.
At Outback Steakhouse, your wish is our command. Backed by popular demand, steak and lobster at a special price starting at $19.99. Come enjoy our bold center-cut sirloin seasoned with our signature blend of 17 spices and paired with a buttery, succulent lobster tail. Hurry into Outback Steakhouse where your steak and lobster wishes come true at a price you can't miss. Steak and lobster, starting at $19.99. No rules, just right.
Let's move on from there and let's take some of your voicemails.
One thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, my friend, thank you very much. Let's do this one.
Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Ben from Connecticut.
Hey, Ben.
Just a quick question for you. I recently had a pyelonitis cyst that had to be surgically operated on. I don't believe they completely removed it. As they mentioned, that the chance for recurrence is reasonably high.
Yeah, that's true anyway.
But to prevent future occurrences of that, I've been told to do full hair removal on my back and butthole region. And so the doctor recommended Nair, but
no.
I was recently listening to your last podcast, and he recommended not to use Nair anywhere near the rectum. So I'm wondering what my options are, if I should just rip my teeth and bare a wax. I'm not really up on that kind of thing, so please let me know. appreciate it.
Yeah. We talked about this recently, and I've got another person that did a thing that responded to this.
Hey, Dr. Steve and everybody in the studio. A couple things. They're not related. When I was in the Marine Corps, I nared my body from head to toe, and it hurts in certain areas. Yes, it does. I don't know. I wasn't the smartest person, but I did it on a dare.
Okay. So we covered this a long time ago. If you join our Patreon, I believe that show is up. And if it isn't, I'll make sure it is up pretty quickly, where we had the ass crack challenge. And P.A. John was going to nair his ass crack. And double vasectomy turd was going to shave his ass crack. And then I was going to have mine waxed. And doing research on this, we told John not to do it because everything I read said that if you put nair on that sensitive part of your body near the anus, you can really cause some real damage. So we only did the two legs of that. Todd found that if he shaved his ass crack, it was great for like a day, and then you get ass crack stubble because when you shave, you make a square end on the hair, but if you wax your hair, then it will grow back tapered. So if you let it grow back, it doesn't cause irritation as it's growing back. And we found all this to be true. So I went and looked, and there are a couple of people responded to this saying that there are no hair intimate private / at home hair removal creams, and there are. And some of these are marketed for people to use in the genital regions, except that it says, let me just read you some of the, this is one from one of the ones that says it's for the genital region. It says, save yourself, pain, pain, pain. Maybe he was doing the Spock mind meld with the Horta pain. Okay, going back too far, sorry. It says, not for balls. I got to let you guys know, do not buy if you're planning on using this for you sack. I want to use this all over down there and for my butt, worked fine, but please do not apply to your sack. By no means is my skin sensitive at all, and after 1 minute application, but the sack was on fire. I immediately rinsed it off, but it was too late. My sack was burn, and I wasn't able to get out of the shower. The pain was so severe, I was seconds away from going to urgent care. I'm writing this to save you from thinking it does a damn thing for your balls. Once I'm healed, I'll only ever shave that area again. The advertisement is false and shouldn't be allowed to... shouldn't be allowed on balls. Okay, let's see here. Let's find another one. This one says, find something else. This product needs to be more specific on what skin and hair type it works. I used the whole container, waited the 6 minutes. Most of the hair didn't fall off as I had to pull most of it by hand. It was a messy experience. Here's another one. The packaging for the product expressly states it is for the, quote, genitals, unquote. There's even an illustration of a man's bikini brief clad bulge on the back of the package to go along with this claim. Yet in the fine print, you find it is not for the penis. Guess what, you deliberately deceptive manufacturer? The penis falls under the heading of, quote, genitals, unquote. Well, that indeed it does. This person said, without describing the embarrassing particulars of this product, caused severe burns despite using the product as the instructions directed and performing a test skin patch first. I sought medical attention from a family member. That was my cousin. Let's see here. First attempt, waited 3 minutes, tested nothing. Another minute, a little came off in the shower, put more on the second attempt. Big mistake, took the hair off, then burned my balls.
You get nothing!
Hit the wrong sound bite, but that actually worked. Let's see. I'll do one more. this one says, I'm not even trying it due to the directions. Okay. I'm not. It says here, how can something be for your intimate areas when it requires a spatula to apply it because it should not touch your fingers? Good point, my friend. All right. Ouch. I got to use this on my neck as well as my breath. Now, listen. Okay. This person asked about pilonidal cysts and then was talking about Nair. If you used it, so let's talk about what a pilonidal cyst is. This is a cyst you get at the bottom of your tailbone, and it's called pilonidal because pilo means hair and nidal means nest. So when you open these things up, often there will be a nest of hairs that have grown under the skin, and then it eventually gets infected. So it's a big mess of pus and a nest of hairs, and hence the name pilonidal cyst. And it looks like a big zit at the bottom of your tailbone. It's more common in men than women. And it usually happens due to sitting, leaning back. So people who recline when they sit are more likely to get this. Truck drivers will get it. And people who sit a lot will get it. And they can drain it, but it will usually recur. So then normally the surgeons recommend that the thing be removed, but then you've got to change the way that you sit. And yes, one way to avoid ingrown hairs is to avoid having hair in that area at all. So I would wax it rather than nair it. Anything that will reduce the inflammation of the skin as the hair grows back is, I think, would be beneficial. Or you could have it lasered. Just laser it. It'd be two or three treatments. You'd be done. You wouldn't have any hair down there. And that'll get rid of the hair follicles and everything. Now, my friend Chanda tells me that that works better on people with darker, coarser hair. So if you're blonde with very fine hair, I'm going to posit that you probably don't have a pilonidal cyst if you have very fine blonde hair in the tailbone region. But if that's not the case, then absolutely go for it and get it lasered. So that's what I would do to prevent it. As a matter of fact, while I was talking about this, I was searching and I found that research evidence suggests there is a significant reduction in recurrence rates of pilonidal cysts with the use of laser hair removal. Well, I'm going to give myself a dang bill on that one.
Give yourself a bill?
I just did. Thank you, sir. So how about that? Yeah. So right now, that would be my top recommendation based on just my own intuition and based on the little bit of evidence that I've found doing a search while I was answering this question. So, all right. Very good. This is an interesting one here, and this has nothing to do with medicine, but it has something to do with something that we talked about last week.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Travis in East Tennessee.
Hey, Travis.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Just heard your podcast mentioning Dollywood and thought I'd give you a little bit of history on it in case you didn't know. Started out in the 1960s or 70s as Rebel Railroad, and the park's always been themed around that steam train that rides through the park. And originally it was...
Yeah, one thing about Dollywood, particularly... You little kids love is this dang steam engine train that will take you around this cul-de-sac and all around the park, and people love that thing. And when it comes, you know, they have the conductors out there, little howdy do and all this stuff. It's really it really is a cool thing, and it's easy to get on. Even when the lines are bad at Dollywood, you can usually get on the first or second time.
Like I said, Rebel Railroad, and it was themed to be Civil War times. And then it became Gold Rush Junction, and then Silver Dollar City. And
well, was it Union or was it Confederacy? That would be, since it's called Rebel Railroad, I think maybe that's why it's not called that anymore.
And the folks that bought it as Silver Dollar City... changed the name to Dollywood and did a partnership with Dolly Parton. And even up into the 1990s, they still had some of those old buildings up where the train turns around, and they would have cowboys come and, rob the train. It was a lot of fun. It was really neat.
Yeah, so if you want to have that experience still, And thank you, Travis. Go to Tweetsie Railroad, and there are probably a bunch of these things. But I remember our littlest one was a big fan of Thomas, the engine or whatever he was. And they would roll a different front onto that. And all of a sudden, Thomas the Train was there, and he would take you around. And the Tweetsie Railroad thing. And they still have scenarios and little action pieces that they do when you go by. And then at Halloween, kind of the same thing, right? At Halloween, it's all scary themed stuff, you know, ghouls and goblins and things that you see as you go by all these different areas on the railroad. But anyway, enough about Tennessee and North Carolina minor theme parks. Although I guess Dollywood no longer is a minor theme park because it has the number one wooden roller coaster in the world, which is called Thunderhead. And it's nuts. It is really nuts. So I always thought that Dollywood would be a bunch of painted concrete and a bunch of just schlocky stuff, but it's a very nice theme park if you're into that sort of thing. All right, let's see here. How about this one?
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's Matt and Christy in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey.
We have some friends that are...
By the way, Matt and Christy, we will be in your area in the next few months as we head down to the Charleston area to do a vacation. And that'll be in July sometime, you all. So we'll make sure that we've got some evergreen shows running, or we'll run some stuff ahead of time. But anyway.
Child is friends with their child. And so now we are forced to be their friends.
Okay, and, understood that.
They have another child that has something called PANDA. And some kind of infection that's led to, like, neurological problems in the brain or something like that. Can you help us understand what it is and what they are going through so maybe we can be better friends?
Yeah. Being better friends in this case just means being understanding of the situation. PANDAS is short for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcal Infections. And when kids get this, if they get OCD or a tic disorder or both, they suddenly appear following a strep throat infection or any other sort of strep infection. Could be scarlet fever and I don't know if this has ever been associated with strep versions of impetigo, which is a skin infection, so I'll have to look into that. The diagnosis of PANDAS is further supported if the symptoms of obsessive compulsive disease or tics suddenly become worse following a strep infection. And it's usually dramatic and happens overnight and completely out of the blue, and can invoke motor tics, that'd be just twitching of the face or the body, or vocal tics. Or both, obsessions, compulsions, or both. And they may become moody and irritable and have panic attacks and show separation anxiety and those kinds of things. And these damn strep bacteria are recognized as foreign bodies in the child's system. And the immune system reacts to these molecules by producing antibodies, as we're well aware now. Most people have some expertise on immunology these days after 2 years of pandemic and vaccines and all that stuff. But the immune system is supposed to react only to the strep molecules, but in this case, they also react to the human host molecules that are similar. And so these antibodies attack these sort of mimicked molecules in the child's own tissues. And this is similar to rheumatic fever, where people get, strep infection, and all of a sudden the body produces antibodies to joints or heart tissue, you know, cartilage in the heart, that kind of thing. So it's not that different. But in this case, it's causing neuropsychiatric problems. And there are some cross-reactive antibodies that target the brain, and that's what's causing these OCD and these tics, and then causes this PANDAS syndrome. So it is diagnosed not with a lab test, but by criteria. And so the diagnostic criteria are, as we talked about, OCD, tic disorder, pediatric onset, episodic course of symptoms. In other words, if they get exposed to strep again, it gets worse. And association with any strep infection. And then the key to it is that it was abrupt onset or abrupt worsening of symptoms. And what do you do when you treat this? They can do a strep titer and see if it's really high on these kids. That just shows that they have high circulating antibodies to strep. And then, you know, to treat it, they just treat it with antibiotics. So that's for these acute episodes. They treat the strep infection causing the symptoms. And usually the great thing about strep is almost all the time you can treat it with simple penicillin. These dumb bacteria don't seem to be able to mount a response to penicillin, probably because they're so sensitive to it, it just kills them all and they can't develop resistance to it. They recommend that toothbrushes be replaced or sterilized after antibiotic treatment to make sure they don't reinfect themselves, and make sure that nobody in the family are strep carriers, including, by the way, dogs. Dogs can have been implicated as carriers of strep in kids with recurrent strep. Now, the children that have OCD usually benefit from standard medications and behavioral therapies, cognitive behavioral therapy, that kind of stuff. And they can use even serotonin reuptake inhibitor type medications for these kids. And there are medications for tics. And so you just sort of basically break down the symptoms into their component parts and treat those separately. We never love to put kids on SSRIs when they're, you know, ever. And so they want to start low and go slow. So they'll often use a liquid preparation and use the tiniest amount that you possibly can. And this should be done by a specialist, in my opinion. And then for the very worst cases, you can give them intravenous immunoglobulins, sort of overpower and reduce the effectiveness of the local antibodies. Or you can do plasma exchange just to get those antibodies out of there. The problem with that is, you know, these treatments can increase your risk of infection, and there are always risks with invasive procedures like that. So that should be reserved for just the worst possible cases. So, you know, there is clinical research out there. Go to clinicaltrials.gov and you can look up PANDAS syndrome. Make sure you have the S at the end. And see if there are any clinical trials that your kid or your friend's kid could enroll in. That'd be something for the parents to do, but you could ask them, hey, have you guys looked at clinicaltrials.org, particularly if they're very distressed about what's going on with their kid. I don't know the severity of the kid's illness. So anyway, all right, very good. Well, listen, we had a little bit of feces talk and then some more interesting science stuff. So I appreciate you all being with us. We'll have a normal show next week, which will be in just about 4 or 5 days. Until that time, we can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teff, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Howdy Gooplunk, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, the Saratoga Skank, the Florida Floozy, the St. Pete Barkeep Blower, the Tampa Dolly Museum Diddler, Percy Dumb, Roland Campos, Sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Watkins Double, Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Curtiff Electric, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, and I always thank Carl's deviated septum, but that's really Carl's actual deviated septum. And one of my friends named Mark pointed out to me that that's also my name on Discord, which means that I'm thanking myself in a weird way. So I'm going to change that to Carl's malformed foot. Producer Chris, Jenny Jingles, the inimitable.
Vincent Paulino, everybody.
Eric Zane, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington, and of course our dear departed friends, GVAC and Fez Watley, whose support never went unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners, whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. These effing allergies, Jesus.
A new equation for switching on outcomes is here from PwC. It's human-led and tech-powered. It's PwC with Oracle, SAP, Salesforce, and Workday. It's PwC with Microsoft, AWS, and Google. Simplify your systems and amplify your results. Switch on outcomes with PwC and their alliances. Learn more at pwc.com.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.